This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the day. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
And you may be seated. Good to see the pastors who are here. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, verse 1, sing, O barren, thou that dost not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with trial, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Amen. Then he goes on to talk about thy maker, and he goes on to talk about incredible things about God. And let's see if we can't put all of that into perspective. So we're going to talk tonight about faith to stretch for the supernatural. Faith to stretch for the supernatural. This is a prophetic word or prophetic type teaching tonight. So whenever God gives a prophetic word, you will always be able to validate that word by something that has already occurred in Scripture. Because that's what keeps us safe. When you look at the Bible, when Elisha gives the word that it is not going to rain, it is not because it is because he's read the word of God, and God has already stated in His word that if the people go into idolatry, that He would shut up heaven. And so the prophetic word that God has spoken to my heart is that I'm talking about the body of Christ, believers, we're about to enter into a season. We're in a season of supernatural recovery. Supernatural recovery, where it's not going to take much time, and things are going to happen at a rapid pace for those who are in faith. For those who are in faith. And so we want to take tonight to show you and validate this by the scripture, and then talk to you about this stretching component that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. So anytime there's a prophetic message, it will always agree with the promises of God, always. Number two, it will always activate principles of God. It'll activate principles. It will always alert the people of God. When a prophetic word is given, the people will be alerted. And then finally, it will always announce a plan of God. So my role is to get you ready for what God wants to do in an accelerated fashion in the lives of believers who are willing to stretch in faith. Everybody say stretch in faith. All right, now, this is a word to those who have grown up in faith. Not necessarily a word to those who are new in faith, but a word, this is what I'm about to say now, is a word to those who have grown up in faith that the Spirit of the Lord said that we must recapture, and for those who have not grown in faith, cultivate the faith stamina of the past, infused with bold spiritual confidence that gives birth to fearless, courageous action that brings the supernatural on the scene. All right. That is, we have to go back to that level of faith that we had before we got comfortable walking with God. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of amens on that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we got to recapture that zeal and recapture the passion to stretch to obey God. Amen. Now, the Bible says, of course, it says, wisdom is like a well, but you got to have some water. So you have to have a bucket or something to draw it out. And so getting understanding is like that, is that you have to have. So we're going to give an understanding. I'm going to be real simple tonight as I lay down this foundation for this teaching. I don't want you to listen to me critical ears. I want you to listen to me with ears of faith. I want you to hear something tonight that I know the Spirit of God wants to say to the people of God. Now, when we talk about this season of recovery, the season of the supernatural that God says we are entering it into, that we are in. I keep saying entering into, but we are in this season. Now, because things are happening in the realm of the spirit. Now, they are happening in the realm of the spirit, and we must become more spiritually acute to what's going on so that we can use the spiritual tools we have to activate those things in our lives. But the basis, our foundation for the expectation of this is in the scripture. When we look in the scripture, we can see that times of the supernatural recovery, times of supernatural restoration, always followed times of difficulty. I mean, it's the pattern of God in scripture. It's the MO of God. It's his modus operandi. We can see it. I mean, Job goes through these, and for Job's story was about 9 months long, but he goes through devastation for 9 months. But he recovers very quickly and has twice as much. And God doesn't take long to do it. It happens supernaturally. Jehoshaphat is experiencing a time of desperation and devastation. He's about to lose the whole ball of wax. I mean, the enemy is a total outnumber. In fact, they throw up their hands and say, we don't know what to do. God, if you don't help us, we're out of here. But that's followed by a supernatural move of God, and their whole situation is reversed.
All right?
Israel experiences... Israel is in a bad way, children of God, in a bad way. I mean, they're besieged by the enemy. The enemy's got them surrounded. And they're starving to death to the point that women are boiling their children and eating them. Yeah. Prophet comes on the scene. I mean, you know, and of course, this siege had gone on for a while, and they're starving all to death. And the prophet comes on the scene and said, by tomorrow, this time, this whole thing's going to be turned around. And some look and go, you got to be crazy. But I'm talking about it's the MO of God. It's God's MO that you go through a difficult time, but it's followed by supernatural.
All right. Yes, sir.
And true enough, that next day, the Bible talks about how God magnified the feet of the four lepers. And they walked into the enemy's camp, and their feet were magnified, and the enemy thought they heard army coming, and they thought that Israel had gone out and brought their allies in, and they all ran off. All of them, they ran off, left the food, left the clothes, and left everything.
Right.
And so, but the thing turned around supernaturally. Everybody say supernaturally. All right, Daniel, three Hebrew boys, same situation. One day, devastation. Next day, God turns it around supernaturally. Now, I'm saying all this because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
The word of God.
I got to get you in faith now for you to believe God is doing something supernaturally to bring you to the next level.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look at the person and say, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. How many? Now, Peter has a devastating night, didn't catch any fish. Supernaturally, the next day, God fills his boat. Jesus has a devastating weekend.
Come on, Bishop.
But supernaturally, on the third day, gets up out the grave. Amen, amen. And so you've got to have in your heart that this is how God operates.
Right.
And many have gone through some difficult times in the past. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Been challenging because we live in a challenging situation, challenging times, that sort of thing. But where you got to get your faith, you got to get your faith to believe now that this season of supernatural, you're not going to be left out.
Right.
Tell the person, I'm not going to be left out. I'm not.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. You know, when I look at my own church, I can see this whole, you know, devastation, supernatural thing. I've seen it happen over time. I've seen it happen, of course, when we started New Light Church. I mean, man, everybody was talking us down and saying how it was going to be, you know, we weren't going to make it. And look supernaturally what the Lord did.
Yeah.
Everybody say, if he did it before.
If he did it before.
No, since he did it before.
Since he did it before.
He'll do it again. Amen, amen. Now, All moves of God, the supernatural moves of God, when we see these things happen in Scripture now, historically, we always see that there was a spiritual requirement. They just didn't happen. That was a spiritual requirement. The people did something. They operated in faith because the will of God does not automatically come to pass. So it will be with us. For us to experience God doing something supernatural, we're going to have to exercise faith at a next level. Everybody say faith,
faith.
At another level. All right, now watch this. When we study those situations I talked about, we can see that there was a spiritual obedience that was required. They had to obey God. Secondly, we can see that there was a spiritual conviction of the three Hebrew boys and Daniel. They had this conviction. This was a spiritual conviction on a situation that they said that we're not going to bow. We ain't going to bow to this idol God. Daniel saying, I'm not going to stop praying. This was a spiritual conviction that God honored. What I'm stressing now is to experience the supernatural, it requires some spiritual activity, operating on a spiritual principle. We don't just sit around and say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You just still be sitting around.
All right?
And it requires faith, spiritual faith, and then, of course, it requires spiritual boldness. Everybody say boldness. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about this boldness that's required. Everything I have ever done of significance in the kingdom has required boldness. It's required boldness. That boldness can be summed up with having a conviction, obeying God, using my faith, and being courageous. Amen. All right, now, Mark 9:23 tells us, and if you want to go there, we can go there quickly. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All right? So what the devil tries to do to cut the legs off of your belief of possibilities, he wants to really flood your mind with the impossibility of things happening for you. They have for somebody else, but not for you. And so he doesn't sit idly by and just let things happen for you that God's planned for you. He will try to make it difficult because we are in a real war. We have an adversary. All right. And so he'll try to hinder the blessings of the Lord. And he does it through the intimidation of the present. Amen. And so what we have to do is understand how to stop that plan that the devil has. Job 36:11 says, if we obey and serve him, we'll spend our days in prosperity. Go there quickly, Job 36:11. We need to see this. Some scriptures I want to quote tonight, but some I want you to see. If we obey and serve him, we'll spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. All right? So I can clearly see that obeying God is important. Everybody say obeying God is important. Amen. All right, now watch this. God speaks to me that, okay, there's this season of the supernatural that's breaking forth now.
Okay.
Right? And so, of course, he know how he's already trained me, so I won't ever get flaky, that I got to see this in Scripture.
Yes. All right.
You follow me? So he takes me to our text scripture in Isaiah 54 and commands me to study it. Now, when he commands me to study it, it means it can't be just a casual reading. I read a couple of times, go away, I pray, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Sing, old Barrett. No. I got to study the history behind the text.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's something he's trying to tell me. So when I start studying Isaiah, I'm seeing now that the people's situation was somewhat like what we've gone through. They've gone through a trying time.
Yeah.
So this prophetic word to them and to us, is for people who's about to experience something supernatural that God has for them. And God is getting them spiritually ready to walk into it. Okay. And so as the prophet, when he's talking, he has diagnosed their situation. And he starts there in verse 2. And in verse 2, he starts talking about, get ready for something happening. Enlarge.
Right.
your tent. He's, enlarge the place where you are. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. I mean, that sounds like big stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, watch this. And then he declares, you're going to break forth. Verse 3. You're going to break forth. But then in verse 3, it says you're going to break forth on the right hand, on the left. Talks about what your children are going to do. I mean, this thing is going to be great. But then verse 4, fear not.
All right.
Everybody say, fear not. Why is it all the time when we are seeing God gives instructions, he cautions the believer on fearing? I'll get a little ahead of myself. Because just beyond the excuse you make because you're afraid is the supernatural move. And so we can shut off what God wants to do with fear. Because that's the chief weapon of the enemy. Everybody say that's his chief weapon. That's the chief weapon of the enemy. And so he says, fear not. Now we think about fear. We really go to Joshua chapter 1. Put your ribbon there and let's go to Joshua chapter 1, because God talks to Joshua. But if we want to chase this whole thing about fear through the scripture, you can go Old Testament, New Testament. The situation with a prophet and the widow. The widow knows what God says. God says, feed the man of God when he comes.
Yeah.
But she's afraid.
Yeah. All right.
But when he got up beyond the fear, supernatural happened.
Yeah.
Got it? Jairus was waiting for Jesus to go home and minister to his daughter. Faith been built up because he witnesses the woman with the issue of blood getting healed. His faith is at an all-time high. Got it? And then he hears the word that your daughter is dead. Fear grips him. Jesus says, hey, no. Don't fear. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Keep believing.
Yes.
And just beyond that, the miracle takes place.
Come on.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I think you will agree with me that fear seems to be a blocker of the supernatural move. It seems to diminish my faith, cripple my faith, in some instances cancels my faith, so that I will not lay hold on the supernatural.
Come on.
All right? And I submit to you, many of you today are afraid. I submit to you that you are afraid. Look at the person that said, he's talking to you because he ain't talking to me. Go ahead. He talking to you, he ain't talking to me. Okay. All right, watch this. God is calling Joshua and to take over where Moses left off. And verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I'm in Joshua 1 and 8. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosper. Then thou shalt have what? Good success. Then he go, have I not commanded thee? What did he command? Be strong. What's that? Of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't let none surprise you. For the Lord thy God is with you. Where? With us ever. Now, anytime God talks about in the challenge scripture, when he tells a person not to be afraid, he tells them why, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Everybody say,
don't be afraid
because God's with us. All right. And so here's where I'm going to rest my hat for the rest of the night, as we're going to talk about this whole idea about fear. Fear is a human reaction to a satanic attack on the mind. Of a perceived awareness of approaching danger, sense of overwhelm, threat of loss, or of being devalued. I say that again. Because on the other side of fear is the supernatural. Everybody say,
on the other side
is the supernatural. All right. So if there's any fear in your life, how many want to get it out?
Yeah. All right.
Why? Because on the other side is the supernatural. Because we've proven that by scripture, right? We've shown time and time again, once the person got beyond the fear, boom, supernatural happened. So what happens in one, for one in principle, God must do for another. Got it? So if fear is in my heart, and I know right now you don't want to admit it. Okay? You get so quiet. But if I show you, then will you let me operate on you?
Come on.
If I diagnose it, then will you let me go to work on you? And I hope you will, because then that's when you're going to step into the
supernatural.
All right. All right. Now watch this. In Isaiah, when Isaiah was talking to the people, he realized that because of the prolonged fight that they and difficulty the people had been through, they were carrying this baggage of fear.
All right.
Because when you go through something and you get out, you don't ever want to
go back.
Come on, right? You don't ever want to go back again. Watch this. Watch this. And the first sign of you going back. You may not want to admit it, but you become afraid. Now, the thing about fear, it lies there. Fear is you know, I've been studying the thing. Fear lies there. And if you don't check it, fear contaminates other areas of your life. And most of the decisions that people make, they make them out of fear. Fear of being rejected. fear of lack. Fear of not having enough. You follow me? And we have become accustomed to living that way. There's a difference between making decisions out of wisdom and making them out of worry.
Come on, teach. Yes, sir.
Amen. So this whole addressing of fear was necessary if the people were going to follow the prophetic word given to Isaiah. The prophetic word given to Isaiah was, God says now, the supernatural move is happening. You've been barren, but you're not going to be barren anymore. In fact, what you're about to produce is going to shock everybody. That's what he's telling them. And he says now, and you got to get ready.
Amen.
He's telling them to do this, that, and the other, and all this sort of thing. Spare not. And then in the midst of the thing, he says now, and listen, fear not. Because he understood, after all what he said, fear could shut it down.
Wow.
Amen. Now, everybody say, on the other side of fear, is a supernatural. Now, here's what we define. Fear is this human reaction to a satanic attack. God says, the scripture says, God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Yes. Right.
Everybody say, fear is a spirit.
Spirit.
Yeah, it's a spirit. It causes, there's a spirit that talks to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that illuminates all the negatives. That causes you to react in fear. And you can stop it if you want to. If you are aware of it and you stop it, you can not manage fear, but remove it. Everybody say, I want to remove the fear. Right? Because when I get this attack on my mind, there's a perceived awareness of danger, of lack, of being overwhelmed, of loss, or being devalued. All right? So the reality of fear is undeniable. It's in the Bible. And fear has this way of manipulating me into disobeying God. Yeah, because, you know, we see a lot of people disobeying God in the Bible. It wasn't because they didn't know. No, they knew. I mean, King Saul knew what God said. But his fear of the people caused them to compromise. And we go character after character disobeying God. They knew, but when fear gripped them, the woman we just talked about, 1 Kings said, the widow there, she understood, God said, when the prophet arrives on the scene, feed him. She knew that. I mean, the scripture says, when God talked to Elijah, he told him, I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain you. I've talked to her already. She knew he was coming, and yet because she was afraid, she was about to, I don't know why y'all like it. You don't understand that. You know what keeps folk from tithing?
Yeah. Come on.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that one in there. I got to pick this up home. It bothers me. I cannot stand stuff like that. Y'all know I can't stand that. Yeah. That's what keeps folk from tithing. It ain't to understand. It ain't mathematics. Like, you know, I don't know how to do fractions and the tenth and all that. That ain't why folk don't tithe. No, it's fear. You follow me? All right. Fear disqualifies you. Okay, how can I say that? Because when the 22,000 comes down, well, first 32,000 comes down with Gideon, Gideon's available fighting man, 22,000 are afraid. And God says, them I can't use. Send them home. Even though they were the majority. So fear can disqualify me for what God wants to do for me. Everybody say fear. All right. Fear, it can cause disobedience, disqualification, and it can cause devaluing. Everybody say devaluing. Now, in a relationship type situation, when fear is present, and that's really the cause of a lot of relationship problems, is because of fear. Fear of rejection. Get quiet when I talk about that. But fear of rejection. The fear of not being valued. So all of those things can cause problems in life. So fear, everybody say fear is nothing to play with. All right. Now, well, the Bible talks about fear as being traumatizing, terrorizing, and tormenting. You follow me? So the Bible says fear has torment. So I understand now that fear is nothing to play with. All right. Now, let's look at a couple of passages on fear. And then we're going to talk about recognizing fear. The reality of it is easy. But recognizing it is problematic. It's problematic because fear wears disguises. Mm-hmm. And we have to unveil the disguises. You see. And, you know, when I was reading this and talking about all this and that sort of thing, and, you know, I'm thinking I'm preparing this for y'all.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to minister to you all. And then the Lord exposed the fear that I had. I went, oh, no. Yeah, because, you know, there's some things that I was planning to do. But my hesitation was because deep down on the inside, I was, I ain't afraid no more. But I was afraid of what if it don't work? And because I focused on what if it don't work out, you follow me? That thing got a grip on me, and I was satisfied waiting, calling it being cautious. Because that's one of the clothing and disguises that fear wears. Look, person, I say, be not afraid, be not afraid. Come on, help me preach to them. Be not afraid, be not afraid. Yeah. So when God showed me that, and he showed me, you know, I called myself being cautious, you know, and it wasn't being cautious. It was fearful. It was fear.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. And fear also wears another dress called conservatism. I'm conservative. I'm conservative. No, you're conservative. You're afraid. Hallelujah. Fear wears another dress called being cheap. Everybody say fear, fear, fear. Fear wears the dress of compromise. And fear wears the disguise of controlling. A lot of folk are controlling because they are fearful of rejection. And the only way I can have peace in my relationship is you let me control you, because otherwise I fear. Amen. Look, person saying, I'm not afraid. Don't tell me I'm not afraid. Amen, amen, amen. Fear wears the cloak and the clothes and disguise of criticism. Well, a whole lot of folk are critical. It's because they are afraid. What do you mean? Well, I'm afraid if I honor you, it shines a light on, you know, my lack. And I don't want to look at me. So rather than me look at me, I'm going to talk about you. But the essence of it, I'm really afraid. Amen. Look, person said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. All right, now. But here's why now. We got to get beyond fear. Why? Because when we get beyond fear, we step into the... Y'all good class. Y'all good class. Good class. Good class. All right, now. So when we read the Bible, let's read some scriptures on fear, and then we'll talk about them. There's so many scriptures I really love on this thing. And I have watched in my life that whenever I've gotten beyond fear, I've watched God do some incredible things. I remember when God told me to buy first Jedabolt. And really, I mean, I was afraid. First of all, Jed, I mean, I'm from Fifth Ward. We're trying to get us a car. And we're trying to get a used car at that. You understand? And the Lord told me, I want you to buy Jed, because your travel is going to be so extensive, you'll have to have a jet to keep up with it. But I had no appointments. See, no appointments. So why buy a jet? Everybody said, because God said so. Okay, now. All right, so I'm trying to talk to God on the basis of I don't have an appointment or a need. Now, he already told me to do it. But I'm talking with him on the basis of my need. I don't need one, don't have appointments. At the base of that was I was afraid.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Afraid, number one, don't know how much it costs. I never had no jet. Number two, I'm in the midst of bill and don't want to believe for no money for no jet. Number three, folks, just quit talking about me for the helicopter. I don't need no more persecution. So the bottom line was, it wasn't that I didn't have any appointments. The bottom line was, I was
afraid.
Got it? And I'm throwing up all these excuses for not obeying God. But the bottom line was, it was fear. And I had to get beyond it. And when I got beyond the fear, you follow me? And I obeyed God. God put everything, start falling in place. Everybody say, when you get beyond fear, woo, things are going to start falling in place. I mean, things are starting, I came in touch with the right people. I got the right education. I got the right deal. I closed the, got the right financing. Closed the deal on it, and the phone started ringing supernaturally. Oh, no, y'all didn't get that now. I didn't send out no letters saying, have Bible, we'll preach. You understand? I have a word for this message. I have a message for this message. You need the bishop. I mean, I was the bishop. You need the pastor. I never sent out anything. I never sent out any notice that I was ready to travel. But when I got beyond fear, the look person said, I'm glad I came tonight. I'm telling you, things will fall into place when you get beyond that subtle fear. See, it's not that blatant fear. Not that. That's not the fear. But it's the fear you justify. Whoo, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Look at the person next to you and say,
I will not
be afraid.
Go to Psalms
56. I will not. I will not fear. I will not. I'm making up my mind. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I am not going to allow fear to rule in my heart in any level, in any dimension. I will not be afraid. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm about to make some things happen because I will not be
afraid.
All right. Verse 4 says, in God will I praise his word, and God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, because here we see all through the Bible this ministry to us on fear. This ministry to us on fear. Hallelujah. If I say,
I will not be afraid,
I will not harbor fear in any level, in any dimension. Amen. All right. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Everybody go, wow. Everybody say, wow. Did you know we got delivered? We've been delivered from the fear.
Wow.
Oh, no. He bore the fear like he bore the sickness, like he bore the sin. So the truth of the matter is the price for my freedom from fear has already been paid.
All right.
No. See, I don't have to overcome the fear like the world overcomes the fear. The world overcomes fear through experience and education. That whatever I'm afraid of, if I get more information on it or get some experience in it, the fear will leave. Not for me. The price to chase the spirit of fear was paid for me on Calvary. I can get delivered from fear supernatural. Are y'all hitting this? All right, watch this. 1 John 4. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in
love.
For God so love the world that he, the expression of God's perfect love for us was the death of his son, Jesus. Watch this. Paying the price for my total freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Not just my freedom from sin. You follow me? Ticket to heaven. But I got a right to live not managing fear, free from fear. And just like I resist sickness and disease and refuse to allow it to allow it to be in my body.
Yes,
I resist fear the same way. Watch this. Because I'm living free of fear. Everybody say, I'm going to live free of it. I'm going to live free of it. Now, I'm not going to manage fear, baby. A little fear. No. I'm not dealing with fear at all. Fear is like a cancer. Left unchecked, that baby grows. And it starts to affect other areas of your life. I can't afford to do that. There's a supernatural future God has for me, and fear will keep me from it. But perfect love casts it out. And so when all I got to do is think about what the scripture says, God says to Joshua, fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. It's only when I understand and when I have convinced myself, let circumstances convince me that he's not with me. That I open the door for fear, that I'm in this by myself. But when I'm flooded my life with understanding God is with me. God loves me. Love me enough to pay the price to break the fear over my life. Are y'all getting it? Y'all getting it? All right. So then the response to fear is personal. Whew. Everybody says personal. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, we got a situation where the king has sent his soldiers out to arrest Elisha. The servant goes out and look everything, everywhere, surrounded by all kinds of, you know, the whole mountainside full of them. Servant drops his bucket, runs and tells Elisha, we're going to die. Elisha walks out there, look at the same situation and says, fear not. Bear more with us than with them. That is because in this situation, he chooses to be spiritual.
Wow.
Are you listening to me? Fear can grip me when I lose my spiritual focus. Amen, amen. All right, I've seen it. I watch folk after they stay away from church. You follow me? Stray away. I see how fearful they become. They start thinking just like the world thinks. Amen, amen. So then it's personal. Everybody says personal. It's personal. Yeah. So my response has nothing to do with what anybody else does. It's personal. So just because everybody else around me is afraid, don't mean I have to be. All right? And so I choose to remove the torment of fear from my life. I'm a little free from it. Everybody say free from it. Say so. Number one, I do so. You might want to take this down. Number one, I do so because of my covenant. I got a redemptive covenant, which we just read, where he says, he died so that he could eliminate my fear. All right. Number two, I refuse to concede to fear. When I realize that there's a situation of fear, then I'm going to attack it. I'm going to attack it with this regimen. I refocus on my source. My source is God. I rebuke the spirit. I rebuke the spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It's brought on as a spirit talking to me. And he's magnifying in my mind the negative things that could torment me. Everybody say, you better rebuke that thing. Now tell them, you better rebuke that thing. I'll tell them. No, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. That means when fear's gripped me, I've opened my ear up where I'm listening to the wrong voice.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing the voice of how great God is.
Yeah.
So when in Isaiah 54, we go back and read that, he starts saying, thy Redeemer. What is he doing? He's saying, listen, for you to overcome fear, you're going to have to focus on God.
Yeah.
I mean, for you to walk out of here believing for, how many believe for something supernatural to happen in your life? Supernatural. Yeah. For that to happen, listen, for that to happen, you can't be listening to the devil talk. Giving you every reason in the world why it's not going to happen for you at this time. No. Everybody say, rebuke that thing. Yeah. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but love, power, sound mind. I have a sound mind. Sound mind is a man who thinks like God says I'll think. God told me to think on these things, whatever is pure and all that. That's what I'm thinking on. I ain't thinking on no failure. I'm not thinking on being embarrassed. I'm not thinking of coming up short. I got God with me. Look, person, I got God with me. I got it. Yeah. All right. So I refocus on the source, rebuke the spirit. And then watch this. It's a matter of my relationship with the Savior. I'm going to bask myself in his love. Man, God loves me. Look what he's done for me. All right. Number four, I'm going to rehearse my success. I'm going to rehearse success. What has he already done? See, y'all know I'm believing for my own network. Own network. I help other folk get their network. I want my own network, Jesus' name. I'm releasing my faith for my own network. Amen. I'm telling you. And so, things are in motion and that sort of thing. And so the Lord comes to me the other day and says, okay, now what you doing? Well, I'm waiting. He said, what you waiting for? That ain't how I operate with you. I said, I never operate with you waiting. I've always operated with you when you taking a step.
Amen.
When you take the step, I always meet you, don't I?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Then I looked and saw some fear. I saw some fear down there. Up. And I've learned now, when I detect that fear, I got to get that thing out.
Yes.
Well, I've been looking at negatives. You follow me? And I've hesitated. He says, I told you to take the step.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. And then when I took the step, I'm telling you, things start falling in place. Boom, 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 boom. I'm telling you. All right. All right. So I got to rehearse what the successes I've had. How what have God done in the past? All right. I got to recite the scripture. Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom should I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? And so we spend more time, you know, talking other stuff than quoting scripture. Everybody said we got to get back to it. I release the seed. I release the seed. Why? That ensures favor in that situation. And then I rejoice in his superiority. What do you mean? I'm counting on God. I am not counting on me. I ain't counting on me this far. I'm counting on God. Everybody said, let's count on God. All right, now, so what that does for us, That when that fear is removed, it's stretching time.
Yeah.
Now I'm just about out of time for today's lesson, but that's why we got 2 days. All right, everybody say stretching time. Because stretching is this is a faith action that chooses to totally rely on the saving power of God to bring deliverance through your willingness to go above and beyond what you initially thought you were going to do. Everybody say stretching, stretching,
stretching.
And that's what I got to do. And I think we understand that whenever we find fear, that whenever I'm making a decision, I've got to examine my decision. Am I making that decision because deep down inside, I'm afraid of something? I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid of losing something. Well, Pastor, how will I know the difference between being wise and making a decision based on worry? Okay? Thank you for bringing that question up, because that's a good question. All right? When I make a decision based on wisdom, it's over and I can move on.
Yeah.
When I make it based on worry or fear, it haunts me. Because deep down inside, I have been pacified and not satisfied.
All right.
Okay, let's see if we can work with that. Yeah. You decided that you were going to give up a dream, but you can't get it out of your head. See? No, you talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself out of the car. You talk yourself out of the house. You talk yourself out of the ministry. You talk yourself out of it. You know, trying to be conservative, careful, cautious, and all of that. But you can't shake it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. I remember, well, this is success. I can talk about some success things. And I mean, when I bought my first Rolls Royce, I wasn't gonna buy it. I won't buy it because I don't want folk talking about me.
Yeah.
I don't want folk talking about me. And even though I wanted it, and I said, well, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. He give me the desires in my heart. I want a car. I think that's too much money to pay. Well, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. It was my desire. I've always wanted it. A handmade car. One made ain't nothing like it but mine. You understand? That's where the rose is. This handmade. That thing handmade. Ain't no two of them alike. You understand? That's what I wanted. But then I kind of talked myself out of it. I don't want anybody talking about me. I don't know Rose Watson. And then Lady Bridget got up and preached a sermon. I was on the road and she preached this sermon. And I saw that ain't nothing but fear. Because even though I said it, I didn't want it. One passed by. But then I'm telling her, I don't think I want. But the whole point of it, bottom line, was it was fear.
Yeah.
It was fear of rejection. People talking about me for having it. You got it? But even though the more I say I didn't want it, thing wouldn't leave me. I'd be dreaming by myself. I see. So I'm telling you. See, there's some things you've allowed yourself to talk you out of. Because the root of it is fear.
Yes, sir.
You fear losing friends. You fear the price that's got to be paid for it. All that stuff is there. And when you try to justify it, it just won't leave. And that's when you got to do that inspection to go, yeah, Bishop Wright, I got some fear. But I will not be afraid.
Yeah.
Got it? In that area, I'm going to go right back to those things I told you. I'm going to go back to God's my source.
Yeah.
I'm going to build my relationship up with him. So I don't care if you do walk off. Don't mean nothing. Because my Savior loves me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to always have enough. I'm not helping anybody tonight. All right. Now, what freedom of fear does, it positions me. Now go to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to pick this up on tomorrow. It positions me now to stretch. Because it is when I choose to exercise that faith that stretches. Everybody say that stretches. Oh, my God. I'm only willing to stretch if I believe I'm close to something. Come on, now think about it. I ain't going to try to stretch to reach that post. I'm not close to that post. I'm only willing to stretch when I really believe on the inside that I'm close enough to touch what I'm stretching for.
Yes, sir.
So when I'm at the place of stretching, it's a sign that I really believe I'm close. Now, the story we're going to talk about tomorrow is Peter walking on water. So Peter, number one, he observes the spectacular. He sees Jesus walking on the water. Watch this. And when he sees that, he has an opportunity for the supernatural. See, I believe God brought you here to New Light because he knows that you're going to see the spectacular.
Yes.
Now, I want everybody to come to New Light, but New Light ain't for everybody. Now, I really want everybody to come, you understand? But it ain't for everybody. Because if you just want to be ordinary, you're going to be uncomfortable around us. Now, if you just want some religion, you're going to be real uncomfortable here. Because we are on assignment. We're not just having church. So when you're here, you're going to observe the spectacular. You're going to hear some incredible testimonies. Hallelujah. I mean, because, you know, the norm for us is the supernatural. We got a word today about a person that the doctor pretty much gave up several weeks ago. And the doctors have changed their mind. They were saying, we see improvement. Well, see, we expected it. Because that's what we do. I'm telling you, so Peter saw the spectacular. He saw it was an opportunity for him to experience the supernatural. Watch the supernatural. And he obeyed the Savior. In other words, we're not flaky because we're based on the word. whatever I pursue, I got to have scripture to back it up. That's why New Light is not a flaky church, a spooky church, because whatever we reach for, we have the word validating it. The reason I said you can be rich is because the word of God says you can be rich. Says you can be abundantly supplied. That all rich means. The reason I believe that you that he will give you the desires of your heart, because the word says he'll give you the desires of your heart. All right, watch this. In the process, he operates in the spirit. Peter's out there walking on water just like Jesus. Okay, here's the thing about when you just because you're operating in the spirit, don't mean the devil's not going to attack you.
Right.
Got it? But he can't win. Everybody say he can't win.
He can't win.
So watch. Well, Jesus, Peter's walking on the water, and to go to Jesus out of the boat. All the other disciples, I call them boat folk. They look. They could have done it too, but they won't. They wouldn't. You know, they didn't want to. You know, get out. And so then. He starts focusing. He loses his focus in the process, and he starts looking at the waves and the wind and the wind. So he became overwhelmed by the situation. Over situation over. And you can get in a situation that God allows you to walk in, and if you lose your focus that it wasn't you, it was him, you can get overwhelmed. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, Lord Jesus, when I fly over all of this that God has put in our hands to be a steward over, I ain't never claiming it. I ain't never claiming credit for it. It can be overwhelming. Uh-huh. No, you understand? I fly a helicopter to church, and most folk drive a car.
Right.
I mean, everybody don't drive. Everybody don't fly in a helicopter. That can be overwhelming. You follow me? But see, my focus, I'm not getting overwhelmed, because my focus is, I didn't do this. He did. But if by chance you've lost your focus, watch this, he still loves you. Watch this. And Jesus was watching Peter experience the supernatural. And Peter had enough sense when he saw himself going down, when he allowed fear to grip him, not to just sink. But he cried, Lord, save me. And he, oh, y'all didn't get that. It was stretching time. It wasn't quitting time. It wasn't dying time. It was what? Stretching time. Because he believed, I'm closer to you than I was before I got out of the boat. Are you listening to me? Everybody say he overcame with a stretch. And if he overcame with a stretch, tapping into the supernatural, so can you. Amen. I said, so can you. Y'all went, so can I. Quit being selfish. Preach to the press. Say, so can you. Come on, tell them, so can you. Now say, so can I. So can I. So can I. When God talks to me, and I close with this, when God talks to me, it is the most amazing thing, because from my boy, I've heard the voice of God. I can't express to you what it's like hearing his voice. I don't preach sermons based on just something to say. I got to hear word from God. And all the time, like when I'm studying this, God says, okay, you're studied enough. Just get up there and I'm ready. I'm with you. But my nature is I want to know everything I got to say. Sometimes he won't let me. And I have trusted. Follow me? So when God starts talking to me about this year, he says to me, and you hear the word, he says, The church is better than ever. Y'all didn't get that. You know, he says, after 30 years of this and of teaching and reaching others and helping others, son, I want you to know, and we're talking about how God looks at the church. Now, he gave me my report card. He says, you are better than ever. Yeah. Talking about the light, you understand? Then he tells me this, you tell the folk that when I look at them, after all they've been through, and they're still holding on to their faith, that I declare that they are better than ever. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm better than ever. Oh, you didn't do that. You didn't do it. No. I mean, I'm telling you, this is what God says about you. God says, because you are still holding on to your faith, still holding on to your conviction. Friends have walked off and friends have fallen by the wayside. But where are you? You are still, God says, you tell them to say over themselves, I am better. So you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you I'm. Now you may think that's arrogant. I hope you don't think it. But I'm just saying what God said about me. I'm saying what God says about my church, that we are better than ever. Watch this. And what that means is, listen, God's got some incredible things planned for the light. The supernatural. It's God's response to my stretching. Amen, amen. Red seas don't just open up, but supernaturally they can. Giants just don't fall, but supernaturally they can. Dead folk don't just get out the grave, but supernaturally they can. Meal barrels don't just overflow, but supernaturally they can. Sick folk don't just get off of sick beds, but supernaturally they can. God told me to tell you that we are stepping into a season of supernatural. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a shout, y'all.